This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Welcome to Hive Mind. I'm Meg. I'm here with Eli. I feel like our vibe's off today.
I was just going to say.
Are we both just really tired?
Our vibe feels off today.
Is it the end of February?
I don't know what's going on. I had this. Sorry, this is off topic.
Go on. Like Hive Mind stays on topic usually.
I had this day yesterday where I was just like sad for no reason. Like truly no reason.
It was overcast yesterday.
And yeah, and I texted Skylar at like noon and I was like, I'm sad and I don't even know why. And he was like, do you need to get out of the house? I was like, I don't want to do anything. I'm just sad.
Yeah, that's the telltale sign when you don't want to do anything. Things aren't going great.
I don't know. I do feel like our vibe is off.
I think it's end of February.
Mm-hmm. We both have our matching Stanleys.
Great news is I've got a 44-ounce Stanley filled with Diet Coke.
Oh, mine has water. I wish mine had Diet Coke.
Boring. Let's talk about what we've been watching. Maybe that will lift our spirits.
Okay, so I revisited maybe my two favorite movies from 2023. Because I went to visit my uncle and he was like, do you have any movie recommendations? Let's watch some films. And he had not seen some of my favorites. So I'm going to run through them real quick.
Please.
We watched Theater Camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that movie when I saw it, and I was like, I wonder if I'm gonna watch it now and just be like, eh, it's not as good as I. Meg, this is a 10 out of 10 perfect film.
It's great.
I like, we were laughing so hard we had to pause it multiple times because like we didn't want to miss jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I do not understand how this movie did not get more attention.
Well, I think it was during the strike.
Mm-hmm.
Its release was during the strike or right before,
so promotion was bad.
And then Ben Platt like walked out of an interview about it.
Well, yeah.
And so I think all the attention was on that instead of on the actual movie.
It's really too bad.
It's too bad.
Because the jokes are so good. The performances are fun. It's like feel good, but it's also sarcastic and it's got like an edge to it. But it's, you like finish it just feeling like so happy.
Sharp and sweet.
It's sharp and sweet. And I would just tell you, this is a broad recommendation. I think watch it with your kids, watch it without your kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really lovely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then to that, we watched Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Ugh.
Another perfect film that I just wish was getting more attention. It deserves more attention. It's really, really lovely. So highly recommend a revisit or a first time visit if you have not seen them on those two. All right, Meg, let's talk about The Traitors.
Yes.
All right. There are going to be some spoilers in this. If you're watching The Traitors and you're not caught up, then I don't know what to tell you. So if you're not familiar, this is a reality show where they take reality stars from other programs who have like, you know, been successful at like Survivor or Real Housewives or Big Brother, you what have you. And they put them in a castle in Scotland with, what's his name?
Alan Cumming,
who, is it okay for me to say that whenever I hear a Scottish accent, I think it's fake? Like, I don't think it's a real accent.
The entire time I was in England, I was like, you are all so good at faking this accent. Because this can't be real.
But Scottish is like this extra level. I'm like, why are you rolling your R's?
When I hear an Irish accent, I'm like, you're joking. You're joking.
So they're all in a Scottish castle and they're playing, if you're familiar, essentially Mafia. Did you play Mafia?
Like, of course.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just Mafia. It's, the show is so over the top. It's so dramatic.
Yeah.
And like, the way people are acting in it, I know that they're being told to act this way, but they're so dramatic about what's happening. And they'll be like, I think you're a traitor. They call the murderers traitors. I think you're a traitor. And then the person will be like, I would never be a traitor. But I'm like, but you were assigned roles.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, they're all acting like the traitors are actual bad people in the castle. I'm like, no, it's a game and you're just assigned these roles.
I know, and I love it. But then when it's like the second they get eliminated, like they're like the performance is over and they're like, you were right, I'm a traitor.
Yeah. So it's I don't know. I think the rules of the game are so silly to me that I don't really care what's happening in the game. And I told you the only reason why I was watching it is because Parvati was in it. And mm-hmm. she was like a big part of the show because yeah. she was one of the traitors. And in our house, we worship Parvati.
Okay.
She's from Survivor. She's the best Survivor player of all time. Like, she's this incredibly like smart social player. She's really good at reading people and whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we were watching. We're like, well, we have to watch because Parvati's in this. And every time she's on screen, I am happy.
Yeah.
But this week, they caught her.
Last week,
the most recent episode, right? It is the most recent
episode. No, there was one yesterday.
Oh, well, they finally eliminated her. And I think I can't keep watching it because now like I'm not interested anymore.
Okay.
But tell me your thoughts about the traitors.
I'm obsessed.
Why?
So many reasons. I only have to watch with one eye, you know, and I don't really tune in.
And the challenges don't matter at all.
The challenges don't matter, but they're hilarious.
They are.
Did we already talk about the challenge where there was one where it was like out in the woods and they literally like grab people up from the ground?
Oh yeah, that was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny. Like they were hanging in nets above the ground.
Yeah,
that was amazing. That was hilarious to watch. They had like a Fear Factor challenge last week.
Was awful.
Terrible. This week they had a challenge where you had to shoot glass with the names of people on it so they wouldn't get a shield, and everyone was terrible at it. It took them, I have to assume, like 4 hours before one person got. Anyway, challenges are stupid.
There's a challenge in Survivor that's like that. That's
really
pretty fun. Yeah.
I'm obsessed with the castle. It's like so bright and vibrant, and their wardrobes are so kooky. Like they're all like tartan plaid, but like Phaedra last episode had like a tartan plaid sweater, but then it had like feathers on the sleeves.
Yeah.
Like very fitting for their personalities. Like Phaedra is a housewife. And
is she your favorite?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's the
best. Phaedra is the star of this season.
Phaedra is incredible.
Yeah.
And I love that it shows how smart you have to be on The Real Housewives.
Yeah.
Like you really have to be incredibly sharp and funny.
I think
and
that's
she
right.
is.
Yeah.
Peter was one of the worst bachelors of all time. Ugh. And he is incredible in this show.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh my gosh, Peter has a brain. Who knew? Because he truly did not seem to have a brain during his season of the show.
What do you think of Parvati?
I mean, I liked her. I thought she was a good traitor. She wasn't giving me what Phaedra is giving me. They just had Kate, spoiler alert, Kate is now a traitor, and she's hilarious, so very excited.
Okay.
Except Phaedra might be eliminated. We left on a cliffhanger yesterday. I know. It's just, and when I really tune in is the round table at the end, which I think is like, when I did try and watch Survivor, that's the part I really cared about.
Tribal
like the
council.
Tribal council, like, and who's voting for who and why and the strategy behind it. And it's complicated strategy that they're all bringing to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to watch. It kind of feels like an anthropological observation. It's just like, it's comforting. There's something very like comforting about this show to me. And I think part of it's the location. I think Alan Cummings is great. I think having these reality stars, giving them space to be like smart and cunning is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a fun premise. So
it's a lighthearted show.
Incredibly memeable too.
Yes, memeable. I was going to say it's not stressful, although Skylar stopped watching it two episodes ago because he's so invested in Parvati as a person that he was losing sleep. He was like, I can't watch this anymore because I'm worried they're going to find out Parvati and it's stressing me out.
I think she's okay. I think she's going to be all right. How do you feel about Sandra?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So Sandra and Parvati there's been a long standing debate about which of them is actually the best Survivor player ever.
Yeah.
And Sandra, it was the first person to win Survivor twice. And
I didn't know she won twice.
She won twice.
Wow.
And the second time she won, she beat Parvati. Parvati took second. And my hot take that is like shared by a lot of people is Sandra stumbled into a win twice. And I think you're seeing on the traders exactly why. Sandra doesn't do anything.
No, she's had like zero camera time.
She doesn't do anything, and she just somehow ends up like going by because nobody pays attention to her, which like
that's a strategy
in Survivor. And like the Sandra defenders will be like, she won twice because she like she played the game, and the game is whoever like gets to the end and gets the votes at the end is the winner. Like, that's the person who's the best. There's something to be said about that. I will say Parvati is a way more fun player and a much smarter player. And on Survivor, Parvati's played 4 times, and every single time she plays, everyone immediately targets her from the beginning because they know that she's cunning and she's really good at reading people and she has an incredible poker face.
Mm-hmm.
So people target her from the beginning, and she just somehow escapes it every time until she gets to the end and then sometimes wins. And so that's like a completely different end of the spectrum from Sandra, who you're like, was Sandra even on this episode? You know, and so like a lot of us who are Parvati like stands, which is a lot of people, are like, no, Parvati is like the most cunning, like most interesting player we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the traitors, you saw that, like Parvati got a ton of screen time until she got out, and she was targeted like episode after episode.
Yeah.
And she was pretty good at just kind of skirting it until she just wasn't, couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Sandra is so funny to me because she has braces now, which is hilarious.
I know. I need to get braces, but seeing Sandra with braces, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can do it.
So she has braces, and she kind of talks. And
it's and so mean.
Sandra, like, I don't know if she if she's just like pretending or if she has this like inflated sense of ego, but she keeps like, when Parvati got out, she's like, guess right, I got rid of her because I'm the real Queen of Survivor. And it's like, Sandra, you didn't do anything. Like, yeah, you outlasted her on this silly game, but like, you didn't do anything.
I love that for her, though. Like, yes, queen, take your victory lap. Do nothing. Give us nothing.
Sandra is so funny to me, but Parvati said in an interview the other day she's never doing Survivor again, so we'll never see her on that.
Is she going to do Traitors again?
I don't know. Do you know The Challenge? Have you heard of The Challenge?
Everybody loves The Challenge. I've never watched, though.
They asked her, because they were going through reality, they're like, would you do this one? And
yeah.
She was basically saying no to everything. She's like, I would not do The Challenge. It's just a bunch of drunk, like, hooligans. It's not serious.
Hmm.
I'm not familiar with it.
Me neither. I do love that people can just, like, have an entire career now in reality TV. Like, that's
I'm okay
fun.
With it.
That's fun.
It's entertainment. Why,
yeah,
why
it's
is
an
that,
industry.
Why is that different than, like, somebody having a career as an actor?
It's not. It's
not.
Absolutely not.
It's not.
Very happy for them. Anything else you've been watching?
Okay. No, I think that's it. What about you?
So we saw American Fiction.
Yes.
I liked it. I didn't love it. It was much more of a family drama than I was expecting.
Oh.
I was expecting just like a complete skewering of white people. And it's much more serious than that. So I think I wasn't in the right headspace for it. It does have some interesting things to say. I think it was well done. I didn't love the lead performance, but I liked a lot of the supporting characters. I think the premise is pretty funny. Issa Rae was in it, and she was great.
Mm-hmm.
They do a really good job of showing how insufferable the writing community is, because it's pretty insufferable.
That's interesting.
They're all put on this jury that's supposed to select the best book of the year, and it's all of these white people who are hyping up this book that was written by a black man as a joke to be like, what's the 30 Rock one?
Book?
Devastate by something.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's the parody on
Precious.
Precious, yeah.
Yeah,
the novel by Sapphire.
Yeah. Like Disappointment, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it's a really, it has a lot of interesting things to say. I just kind of was expecting more of a comedy.
Okay.
Than I got. So.
So this is a lower tier Best Picture nominee for you?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you just have one left to see?
I think I just need to see Poor Things.
Oh, but wait, did you see Zone of Interest?
Oh, no, not yet. I forgot about
Zone of Interest. Okay, I forgot. Are you going to see Poor Things?
I don't know. We'll see. Kind of scared. Zone of Interest, absolutely, though.
I'm excited to see it.
Also, I went on vacation with my two daughters, mm-hmm. and every night we watched The Babysitter's Club on Netflix as we fell asleep.
Yeah.
It is the best.
Yeah. It's, you've seen it before, right?
I hadn't seen the second season, so okay. we watched the second season. It was like the best show for girls my age, 12 and 9, and I'm so mad they're not making it anymore because I feel like there's just like a dearth of programming that's for them specifically. Like, they're not really ready for programming for teens yet.
Okay.
And a lot of the stuff for kids is just dumb or too young for them.
Like Stranger Things, that's that age, right?
Stranger Things, they'd be too scared to watch Stranger Things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is like very much for tweens, like 11 to 13 year olds.
Mm-hmm.
And it just bums me out that there's not like, more.
Disney's not putting out content for that age group?
Not that they've like stumbled on yet. I'm sure they are. I should probably do some more research. But they really love that one. And I'm disappointed that it's not continuing.
Mm-hmm.
Love is Blind season 6 is a hot mess. It
okay.
is a disaster. Let me tell you, love is not blind. Love is absolutely not blind.
Uh-huh.
Social media is having a heyday right now because one of the contestants told the man she was talking to through the wall that she looked like Megan Fox. And like, yeah, her face kind of looks like Megan Fox, but she does not look like Megan Fox.
Oh,
and
no.
so it like is a whole thing. And he's like, she lied to me. He's like, well, kind of she did. But also, you're not supposed to care. Love is blind. That's just one of the many issues. Emily and I will be covering it in depth on the bonus feed next week. I cannot wait. It okay. is terrible. I love it so much. Vanderpump Rules. We're on episode 4 of the 11th season. It's kind of a letdown so far, but we all knew it was going to be a letdown in the wake of season 10, which was absolutely explosive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still sticking with it. Tonight we're going to go see Madam Web.
Why?
I have to know. I have to know how bad it is. Yeah. So
what's your take on Dakota Johnson's you're into the press?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I hate the press. I am the press, but I hate them.
Okay.
They deserve to have Dakota Johnson dress them down.
The other shoe's got to drop on Dakota Johnson at some point, right? Like people will get
she's not a man.
People will get sick of the shtick of her just kind of being like jaded and
I think if she only pops up for whenever she has a project, which isn't very often, it'll be fine. It's when we're hearing about her like over and over, you know, that's when people are like, ugh, give me a break. So
okay.
I think she's safe. And then you watched Anatomy of a Fall, which I watched a while ago.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about it today. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating movie. It's half in French,
mm-hmm.
right? About a German woman living in France with her French husband and child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of the movie, some spoilers here. So if you haven't seen it and you're going to, we have spoilers here.
And also, I think you can, from the title, guess
what's
happening.
She discovers that her husband has fallen out of the upstairs window and has died. And the movie is essentially the investigation and trial of this woman who was accused of pushing her husband out the window and killing him.
Mm-hmm.
And it involves her 11-year-old son. How old is this kid?
I want to say 11. Yeah.
11-ish. Having to testify because he's the only other person at the house. And
who is partially blind.
He's partially blind. And so he's having to rely on his knowledge of his parents' kind of strained relationship and what he heard that day, you know, whatever. And it's sort of a piecing together the evidence, and the cast of characters includes, you know, her attorney, the prosecutor, the judge. If this is an accurate depiction of French court, I never want to have to practice law in France. It's a circus. It's just a lot of people yelling. There doesn't seem to be much order or process going on there, but it's kind of a stressful watch. I really enjoyed the movie a lot. The performances are very, very good. I will say, and I'm curious to get your take on this, Skyler, who watched it with me, really liked it too, but his criticism was he said he did feel like the movie was a little bit rage porn. Because he's like, the prosecutor is so evil and so bad that it like, they're making you angry. And Skyler said when it ended, he was like, I feel a little manipulated by that movie.
I didn't get that impression of the prosecutor.
I was either.
Like, this guy's doing his job. Mm-hmm. Like, he's doing his job and he's doing it really well.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I was being manipulated. And I there, you know, I ended, I was like, I honestly don't know if she did it or not. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Like, and I think it was effective. And I'm surprised he had that reaction.
I was too, a little bit. And that's why I wanted to ask if you saw that at all. Because I did. There were moments where I thought the prosecutor was going too far for what his role was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, and he is, he's pretty unlikable. Like, he's a pretty unlikable guy because he's playing this role that feels like really aggressive. And it's, he's the antagonist to our protagonist woman who's, you know, on the stand crying. And so I was like, yeah, I guess I can see like really disliking him, but I didn't feel manipulated by it.
I didn't either. I think I felt the same way you did, where I was like, he may have crossed a couple lines, but also like, that's kind of his job. Like, mm-hmm. that was kind of what he was supposed to do. And I thought it was a really good performance.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, I was like, I want that guy to be my lawyer someday.
Yeah.
So I didn't get that impression at all.
So the most interesting aspect of the movie to me is the child.
Yeah.
I think like what he was kind of psychologically going through in this trial was really, really fascinating. And it's obviously was stressful and upsetting for him, and he's having to testify and he doesn't know what happened, and
yeah,
you know, and he's kind of going back and forth himself. And by the way, that kid is an incredible actor.
Oh yeah, I meant to ask you about that because you are famously anti-child
this
actor.
Kid's incredible.
Yeah,
yeah, he is so good.
What, great dog too, great performance from the dog,
great a 10 out of 10 performance from the dog. What do you think about his role in it? Like, what were your impressions?
You know, it's interesting because I have a kid the same age, right? And mm-hmm. like, she really is, she has an adult brain in like, in a small body. Mm-hmm. And they're very much of that age where they're aware of what's going on, but they're constantly being told they're not old enough for something, or I'll tell you when you're older, or, you know, it's at that very frustrating age where you're very clued in to what the adult world is doing and that you are excluded from it.
Yeah.
And so I think the most effective part was when he meets with the judge and the judge says, I don't want you to come to this hearing tomorrow. You're going to hear upsetting things. And he said, I'm going to hear them regardless.
Yeah.
You need to let me be there, and gave him all the reasons why. Like, that felt very true to how an 11-year-old would act,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. I think it was a very effective performance. There's one part that's pretty upsetting when he has to essentially poison his dog for an experiment, you know, that I was like, oh my gosh, that's so heart-wrenching. But I can also see how a kid would get there mentally.
He was like, I'm going to try and poison the dog to see what happens, because he's trying to figure out
if his dad did something.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very upsetting to him. The dog, spoiler, ultimately is okay. But it's very much like,
yeah.
I can see how a child, an analytical, introspective child, would get to that place where they know they have to do this thing to figure out if such and such is true without feeling like they can talk through it with an adult.
Mm-hmm.
That feels true to a childhood experience for me. So I thought really well written, really well performed.
We had to visit doesthedogdie.com for this movie.
Oh, I didn't know that was a site. That's good to know.
It's an incredible site. There's also one, I don't know if it's called this, but Skylar pulls it up every time, every movie. Meg, every movie that we watch, he pulls up, and it's like, does the mom die? Because
oh.
He's like, Skyler's like, I will not watch a movie where a mom dies. I just won't do it.
Okay, sidetrack. Someone posted this the other day. It was like one of those stupid like 90s kids accounts with their show knowing, but this one really, really got me. And it was like a video of a guy sitting in a chair, and he said, remembering when Littlefoot saw the shadow and thought his mom was still alive, and like just traumatized all over again.
I saw that, but I couldn't remember Land Before Time well enough. What happened with the shadow?
Gosh. Oh my gosh. Land Before Time was my favorite movie, which explained
Same.
A lot.
It was
honestly.
My favorite too. Have you seen it recently? The animation
terrible.
Is terrible.
Do you remember? His mom freaking dies.
At the
we
beginning.
Watch his mother die, mm-hmm. and then he spends like 30 minutes of the movie grieving, and at one point he sees like a shadow, and it looks like a big brontosaurus because it's a shadow, and he's like, oh, it's my mom. She's still alive, Eli. And he chases the shadow, thinking his deceased mother is still alive. This was my favorite movie when I was 4 years old.
This is terrible.
Okay.
Well, at least at the end, they find the grandpa, the grandparents.
In the Green Valley, sure. But
Green
it's not
Valley.
The same as your
but
mom.
Why did the grandparents take off without Littlefoot?
I don't even... The adults in that movie are so irresponsible. Are you kidding me? Jeez. Anyway.
I don't think I could... But yeah, Skyler always... He's like, hang on. Let me pull up Does the Mom Die? And if the mom doesn't die, he's like, okay, we can watch it. And I'm like, well, now that's a spoiler for me. And he's like, sorry, I'm just not willing to watch movies.
I get it. If there's like any hint of a kid dying, I'm out. I won't do it.
Really?
Yeah, I can't. What'd you think of the end?
Well, so I'm interested to hear you say that when you got to the end, you were like, I still don't know if she did it. Because I got to the end and I felt like, okay, she didn't do it.
Apparently Sandra Hüller, who plays the protagonist, also doesn't know.
Really?
And the director told her, play it like she's innocent. But like, she doesn't know either. So, and that's how I was like, I honestly do not know. And I think it was very clever in that way because I could see it going other way. Obviously, the most important part of the movie is the argument she has with her husband, where you're like, oh, this guy is the worst.
Yeah.
Neither of them are great people.
Yeah.
But this guy is fully the worst. And you're like, I could see why she would do it, but I could also see why he would do it.
That argument was really fascinating to me because I've had a much more toned down version of that conversation with my own husband. We're not the worst, I promise. But the aspect where she's trying to explain to him what it feels like that she has moved to his country and like has lost a sense of self in that process. Because she's like, I assumed your life, and he is completely not hearing her. Right.
Yeah.
But like, when that was playing, I was like, oh, this is really interesting because I had that experience where Skylar moved into my life, right, from another state. And for the first couple of years, every once in a while, he would be like, he would kind of express that and be like, it's really weird because I feel like I've moved in, I've like become just an accessory to you, and I'm not, like, I left my life and now I'm just like a part of your life. And it took a while for him to like develop his own identity here, and now he's got more of an identity than I do. But it was like hearing her say that, I was like, oh, this is like a real thing that like a lot of people have to deal with when they like form partnerships, you know, in whatever form. And his inability to, or refusal to care about that or hear her on that, like, was just propounding the problem over and over again and driving this huge wedge between them. I thought it was really fascinating.
I thought it was fascinating too. And I thought that argument did a really good job of establishing the motives of both of them, either for her to murder him or for him to commit suicide. Like, it's clear he's depressed and unwilling to do the things that would make him feel better. It's clear that she has a lot of frustrations with him and finds him selfish. Like, it was not exposition. It was very much a showing, not telling us, in a way that I thought was pretty masterful. Like, that was a scene where I was like, oh, I wouldn't mind if this won Best Picture.
Yeah, there's at the very beginning of the movie, a setup that kind of gives you a sense of something is weird between this relationship. And
the steel drum cover of 50 Cent's, what is it, In the Club? I think it's In the Club.
Yeah, and this is like, if you've ever been in somebody's house where the vibes are off because like the couple's not getting along, it's this. Where she's talking to this woman. Is she mentoring or what is she doing?
The student is like a writer and is going to do a profile of her.
That's right. So she invites this student there and they're talking, and her husband's working on his music upstairs, and it's just getting louder and louder until they can't even hear over each other.
And there's also some sexual tension between her and the student, which is interesting. It's like a really interesting, explosive moment.
And she's just like, I guess we can't do this today. He's working on his thing. And it's like, okay, something is weird in this family because he clearly does not care or is purposefully trying to like interfere with what's happening down here. And she's not addressing it and going and asking him to turn the music off. And so you start out like kind of with this unsettled, there's something wrong in this family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also thought it was like so on the nose of like what cool people looked like 10 years ago, right? Like, the photos you see of them as like a cool young couple, you're like, oh yeah, they were hip, they were in the art scene.
Hipster,
and then like 10 years later, like, those people are our age, you know, and now they have kids, and it's like, have I lost my identity? Like, who am I? Am I still cool? Like, that was very much a part of it as well.
Totally.
And just, I just felt like it was, the whole thing was like a tinderbox, you know, and it was so tense and so good and so much more of a courtroom drama than I was expecting, which I love. I love a courtroom
drama. Especially when it's French, because...
Yeah, who knew?
That it's... I mean, when I say there does not seem to be any organization or process, I really mean it. Like, I texted you at one point, Meg, and I was like, either these people did not do any research or French court is insane.
I mean, they're French, so I feel like they know, yeah. You know, I feel like they're familiar with French court. And apparently that's, from what I've heard, that's how it really yeah. is. So.
I mean, to be fair, every courtroom drama in the U.S. is way more exciting than court actually is. If you ever if you ever go to real court in the U.S., it is mind-numbingly boring 99.9% of the time.
I was listening to, I think it was Today Explained, and a reporter who was there for Trump's, one of his many trials, she was like, it was so boring, you wouldn't even believe. It's like, yeah, I think that's how it is.
People have asked me over the years, like, is it so exciting to go to court? And I'm like, sometimes.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's hours and hours and hours of the most boring conversation you've ever heard of in your life. And unless you are in the weeds on that particular case, you don't even understand what anybody's talking about.
Yeah.
That's what most of court is.
Yeah. So don't do a crime in France. where does this fall for you, best picture wise?
Upper half. I haven't ranked yet, but I would say upper half.
What do you like better?
Let's pull up the list real quick. I don't want to forget something. Oscar best picture nominees. The Holdovers I like better.
That's right.
I think that might be my favorite.
Okay.
I don't even know how to rank Barbie, honestly. I really don't. Like, I keep telling Skylar, I loved Barbie. I think it's a ridiculous movie at the same time, and I think the funniest outcome of the Oscars is if Barbie won. It would be so funny to me.
Oh, just chaos.
Just chaos. I pretty much hated Oppenheimer. I don't know what to say about Poor Things. That movie was just insane to me. I loved Past Lives. That might be my second favorite. Hated Maestro. Killers of the Flower Moon is definitely a top half. So yeah, I would say I would put it up there with The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Past Lives. I think those are kind of my group of favorite films from this list so far. I expect I'm probably going to love The Zone of Interest. It looks really fascinating. And
Steven saw it, really liked it.
Yeah.
So, still need to see that. We'll cover that. Well, should we do that? Do you have time this week?
Yeah, we're hopefully going to go see it this weekend.
I can commit to that. I can do that for next week. We'll do Zone of Interest. What a delightful, hilarious episode that will be.
Yeah, it's going to be bleak. But I think that may be the dark horse to win. And it's kind of the year to do it. Like, the idea of Nazis and ignoring what's happening around us is sort of like the theme of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Bumps me up. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back. Talk to you later. Bye.